I certainly have. I remember being quite annoyed a few years ago when I went into a mobile phone shop in Cardiff to get a new SIM card or something. And of course, they want to know your name, address, and so on. And I was served by this youth, really. My name, title, doctor. Name, Peter Bradley. And then straight away, he started calling me Pete. I thought, what on earth? And this is one of those occasions where there's a big difference between what's going through your head and what comes out of your mouth. I felt like jumping on his foot or something. I was thinking, well, if you insist on using my name, which is not necessary, then it's Dr. Bradley to you instead of Pete. But anyway, I didn't. I was very nice. I thanked you very much. I left as soon as possible. But it's true, isn't it, that we are all a bit precious about our personal name. And I think we notice when people get our name wrong, or when people use a short form of our name without permission. And apparently sociologists have done experiments and shown that in a crowded room where there's lots of conversation and background noise, you can still hear your name if somebody says it. And so when Jesus said to Simon, you will be called Cephas, which is Aramaic for rock, and Peter is Greek for rock. So he was telling him basically that he would become a different person, because it's more than just a label, isn't it? Our name, our personal name, is an important part of our identity. And this is not the only occasion in the Bible where somebody's name has been changed. In Genesis, we read about Abraham, or rather Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham. And we read about Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And it's really an indication that this person has a special calling. So that's what we're looking at this morning, the calling of Peter. And the first thing is really Jesus' introduction to these two disciples of John the Baptist, Andrew and another, who Bible students think is John, the writer of the Gospel. But anyway, it was Andrew and another. And Jesus' question to them when they start to follow him is, what do you want? Or, strictly, literally, it means, what are you seeking? And that's a very searching question, isn't it? What are you seeking? So, if you ask yourself that question, what do you want? What are you seeking? I wonder what your answer would be. Lots of people have given their take on this, and they've tried to sum up what it is that people want in their lives. And there's one that I read some years ago that stuck in my mind, and the answer was, people are seeking significance and security. Everybody is seeking significance because we want to feel that we matter, to the world, and that we matter to other people, that we are worthy people or worthwhile people. We're not just taking up space. The second thing is security. Security in the sense of feeling safe and not being anxious, for example, about our health, about our finances. And really, I suppose it's an appeal for love, isn't it? We want to know that we are loved. And we don't want to feel anxious that we're going to be rejected by people. So you might have your views on that take on it, but it serves the purpose. People are seeking significance and security. And people go to all sorts of things to try and find these. For example, in our relationships, we form relationships because we want to matter to people. And we want to be loved. And people want status and financial security, so they look to their careers, or they might look to their possessions or their achievements. All sorts of things people turn to in their search for significance and security. But these things, though they are good in themselves, relationships, career, and so on, they can't really bear the weight of what's expected of them. They all fall short, don't they? And one of the intriguing news stories at the moment, or maybe you're not intrigued, maybe you think it's just a load of nonsense, but we've heard a lot about Taylor Swift's wedding. And when you start thinking about, you know, being famous, being popular, having truckloads of money, more than you could ever imagine, she's got the lot. But I do wonder if she feels that she's got everything she needs, that she feels significant and she feels secure. I'm guessing that she doesn't, because there's always another career step, another achievement, being loved a bit more. It always falls short. And there is a good reason for this, and that is that when God created us, He created us in His own image. And what that means, of course, is another sermon. But not today. But what I can tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't just mean that we are cleverer and more complex than monkeys and all the other animals. There is something about humans that is unique, and that is that we are created and designed in order to know God, which means that we can only find significance and security insofar as we know God. We can only find it in our relationship with God. So if we want to be significant, feel significant and secure, the only way we can achieve that really is through our relationship with God. And I wonder, when we think about Jesus as a man, I wonder if he needed to have any reassurance, if he sought any assurance. I'm intrigued by this statement when Jesus was baptized and we're told that the Holy Spirit came down and there was a voice saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And that's what we'd all love to hear about ourselves, isn't it? You know, that we belong to God and God is pleased. And that's really what He's created us for. We are created in His image. So that is true of us. And that is what we're designed for. I was quite struck a couple of weeks ago when I was walking around Rowe Park Lake, and this swan hauled itself out of the water. And the poor thing, you know, it was just crossing the path, but it was making such hard work of it. It didn't look very happy at all. But when it got back into the water, it was gliding along. And the difference, of course, is that it was designed to swim. It wasn't designed to walk. And so many people really, they're looking for the answer to the question, what are you seeking, in something that they weren't created or designed for. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, if we find within ourselves a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. And that's true, isn't it? We're never going to be totally secure and significant or feel it in this world because we were created for another world. It's what we are designed for, another world. Well, let's go back to Andrew and his companion. And Jesus asked this question, what do you want or what are you seeking? And they gave this intriguing answer, which was another question. Rabbi, where are you staying? And you think, did they have a particular interest in bed breakfast or something? I think, basically, paraphrasing what they said, well, it would have been, don't know. And that's quite common, isn't it? And we can all identify with that, not really knowing what we are seeking. And that seems to have been true of Andrew and his companion. And that's really why friends and husbands, wives, and so on are so important, because they keep us grounded and they help us to understand that we're never going to have our needs met by things, achievements, and so on, that it's more to do with the people that we are than what we have or what we can do. And that is true of what I said about having a friend, husband, wife, to tell you that. It's true at a much deeper level with the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? I think what we realize when we read this and understand what was going on is that while Andrew and his companion were sort of seeking something and latched onto Jesus, what was actually happening was that Jesus was seeking them. And that's true, isn't it? That if you're a Christian today, the reason is that Jesus sought you. And it fits in with the whole picture that we have of Jesus in our New Testaments of the Good Shepherd. He said that himself that he is the Good Shepherd. And he spoke many parables around the whole thing about sheep. And one of them, of course, was in Luke chapter 15, where it's about how a shepherd had 100 sheep, and one of them was lost. And what did the shepherd do but leave the 99 that was safe and go and find the one that was lost? And he also said that he'd come to seek and save those who are lost. So, if this morning you are feeling that there is something missing in your life and you need to start thinking about yourself and your life, I think it's a positive sign, because maybe, just maybe, Jesus is seeking you. Jesus is seeking you to draw you to know himself. So, we tend to think of our spiritual journey as starting when we first seek Jesus, but actually it starts when Jesus seeks us. Let's go back to our narrative, and Andrew takes Jesus to meet his brother Simon, and Jesus makes this stunning statement, "You are Simon, you shall be called Cephas." A rock. It's interesting that lots of people knew Simon, obviously. Who was the person that people knew? Who was the person that people knew as Simon? Well, basically, he was a rather impetuous fisherman. Basically, I think he probably had anger management issues. But the amazing thing I find about this narrative is that Jesus saw something totally different. He saw the future leader of the church. And I just have this picture of a sculptor. I'm not a sculptor. I'd love to have a go. And they look at a piece of stone. And when they're looking at this stone, they can analyze it and decide if it's just the right piece of stone for their project. And so one of the best simple illustrations I've heard is about this sculptor who's trying to model somebody like, I don't know, let's say the king. And somebody asked this sculptor, well, how do you make it like the king? And he said, well, I'll chip off all the bits that don't look like the king. And that's what Jesus saw when he looked at Simon Peter. So we can apply that to ourselves, can we? Can't we? When Jesus looked at us, yes, he sees the person that we are now, but he also sees the person that we could become in a way that maybe we can't see ourselves. And the wonderful thing about this is that Jesus doesn't say, go away and make yourself a better person. He says, you will be called Cephas. And the very strong implication is that Jesus is going to make him rock-like. Jesus, by his power and authority, is going to transform Peter into a better person. You might ask the question, well, what is a better person? What is the best version of myself? And my answer would be, well, the best version of myself is the one that looks most like Jesus. And that's really what Jesus was saying to Peter, not come to me when you are a better person and I will make you a rock. He's saying, you will be a rock. I'm going to make you a rock. I am going to change you. But that doesn't mean that Peter is totally passive. It doesn't mean that Peter doesn't have to do anything, because we know from the narrative in the Gospels, but also in Acts, that Peter went through lots of challenges. Failures, anxieties, bad experiences. He fell over, so to speak, many times. He had to go through all of that. But that was Jesus chipping away the little bits that didn't look like him, making him more like himself, making him the person that Jesus wanted him to become, the person he was creating. So in conclusion, in this narrative, we see that Jesus meets Andrew and this other disciple and Simon. And really, when he finds them, they didn't really understand very much. They didn't really know who Jesus was. They didn't really know what they were looking for in life. And they certainly didn't know what the future held and where following Jesus would lead. But Jesus knew all of this. He knew their hearts, he knew their future, and he knew the people that they would become. So, in conclusion, for the second time, in conclusion, what's the message? I think the message is follow Jesus, isn't it? It's as simple as that. What did Jesus say to them? He didn't tell them to do anything, you know, complicated. He just said, follow me. And they did. And what happened? They became the leaders of the New Testament church. So, follow Jesus. Trust him. And he will make you a better person. He will form you, transform you into the person that he wants you to be. Do I pray now? No. So, Can we have the band back?